Hello, I'm Pastor Tracy Wilson. My wife and I, along with the Real Gospel Missionary Baptist Church family, welcome you to this week's podcast. We hope that our service will be a blessing to you and your family.
Come on, somebody put your hands together. Let's give God some praise. Come on, praise God like he's done something for you. Praise God like he woke you up this morning. Praise God like he deserves to be praised. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. You didn't get here by yourself. God was with you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm excited today. I'm pumped up today. Why, you might ask? I'm pumped up every day because this is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. Just want to say, Happy Father's Day to those of you who are fathers, whether it be biologically or whether it be that you are a father to somebody, anybody. It could have been your neighbor's kid. It could have been your sister's kid. If you stood in a position where you would cover somebody with prayer, if you stood in a position where you would mentor somebody, lead somebody, guide them, or try to direct them, in this world, in my eyes, you're serving in the capacity of a good daddy. Hallelujah. Well, it's time to get into the Word of God. Hallelujah. And so, without any further delay, we have one scripture we're going to read in Matthew 23:9, and then our sermon's going to be in Psalm 105. That's Matthew 23:9. Hallelujah. And then put your finger in, if you can, Psalm 105. Again, that's Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verse number 9. Hallelujah. And once you've gotten there, if you'd be kind enough to stand to your feet as we read God's word, that would be much appreciated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just wanted to say good morning to those of you on YouTube. Good morning to those of you on Facebook. Good morning to those of you who will be listening to the podcast. Lift your Bible over your head, hallelujah, whether it be your cell phone, whether it be, hallelujah, your iPad or another type of pad, or maybe you just have God's word all memorized in your heart. Repeat after me if you can and if you will. Say, this is my Bible. This is God's word unto me. All that it says I am. I am. All that it says I possess, I possess. I thank you, Lord, for your written word. I thank you, Lord. I didn't make up this word, but I believe your word. For you declared in your word that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen. Remain standing, if you will. That's Matthew chapter number 23, verse 9, and 9 alone. Let's read on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Let us read. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Uh-oh. Hallelujah. You may be seated in this place. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord, and we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We lift you high, Father, and we give you glory. We're thankful, oh Father God, that you saw fit, Lord, to wake us up this morning to get us on our way. We thank you, Father God, for this church home and the people of God, oh Lord. And we pray, oh Father God, that you would touch us, oh Lord. We pray, oh Father God, that your word, Lord, would make an impact in our life. We pray, oh Father God, that your word through the Holy Spirit, oh Lord, might be able to teach us, oh Lord, the very oracles of God, that we might be more like your son, Jesus. We thank you in advance, Father God, for what you're going to do. And we ask, oh, Father God, that you would bless the equipment and the technology, Lord, that your will might be done, that everything, Lord, that's done might be done decently and in order. And Father God, finally, we ask, Lord, that you rebuke the fowler, Lord, that adversary, Lord, that demon, that devil, oh, Father God, rebuke him in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we might be able to celebrate your name's sake. We thank you, we praise you, and we call it done. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and thank God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One more thing we need to do. For those of you who have your biological father or one you called your father here on earth, and that particular person has gone on to be with the Lord, we do want to pay homage to them by taking out 30 seconds just as a moment of silence. Can we do that? Let's do that right now. Amen. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. And so we lift up all of those grandfathers and all those fathers who are not on this side. Well, it's time to get into the Word of God. And the Lord told me last night about 3 a.m. To preach this particular subject. We're going to preach from the subject today of Heavenly Father's Day. Heavenly Father's Day. When we look at this particular scripture here, we find out that Jesus is very emphatic. He says, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven." And so when you try to digest that, you might say to yourself, well, we're not supposed to call anybody father. But you have to understand, if you started off in Matthew 23 with the first verse, you found out that the leadership at the time was corrupt. We find out that the Pharisees and Sadducees, hallelujah, that they weren't doing things the way God would want them to do things. We know that they honored God with their lips, but their hearts were far from God. We know that Jesus said, listen to what they say, but don't do after what they do, because they were hypocritical in their offering to God with regards to how they taught the people. And so when you get to this particular verse, what God is talking about is this. Do not call them your spiritual father. How many of you know you only have one spiritual father? Hallelujah. And the Bible indicates in the Old Testament, I will paraphrase, that I'm God all by myself. There's no one beside me. So when we talk about them, we should not call anybody father. We're not talking about in the natural, because it's okay, because we know that the Lord says to honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days might be long. Hallelujah. That is the first commandment that's given. Hallelujah. Where God gives you an antecedent or something that would happen as a result of keeping it. So we know that God said for us to honor our mother and father, and so therefore we know that he's talking about a spiritual condition, a spiritual condition that entails the fact that God is our only, hallelujah, spiritual father. Hallelujah. Everybody good with that? Now we need to go to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Hallelujah. And I hope that this message, hallelujah, is able to be able to give you what you need on this particular Heavenly Father's Day. So we're going to talk about the Heavenly Father today. God bless all us natural fathers, but I came here to talk about my Heavenly Father. Is that all right? Hallelujah. I don't want anybody to feel slighted. Hallelujah. But I thought this was the day that he made. And so since every day is his day, we're going to talk about our Heavenly Father today. I know oftentimes we celebrate our natural fathers, and that has its place. But you would not be a natural father if it had not been for your Heavenly Father. So I think it's quite okay to talk about our Heavenly Father today. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Let's talk about it. Let's get into it. Let's go. Psalm 105. The Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name." And so the psalmist here starts off, and we're not given who the actual psalmist is, but the psalmist says, give thanks, hallelujah, unto God. Give thanks unto the Lord. And so the psalmist is starting off here with a word of praise. Hallelujah. And how many of you know it's good to praise God each and every day? We know that God, through Psalm 22, hallelujah, inhabits the praises of his people. And so we know that everything that have breath let it praise the Lord. That's a good thing. But he says about calling upon God. See, you have to understand something, hallelujah, that everybody does not have a relationship with God. But when you do have a relationship with God, you can call upon God. The Bible says, now whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can you call him, hallelujah, if you have not believed? How can you believe in God if you have not heard? How can you hear unless there be a preacher? How can you have a preacher unless one has been sent? Hallelujah. We know faith comes by hearing God's word. And so he's saying that you should call upon God. But you know what's interesting in calling upon God? Sometimes when we don't have God as the focal point of our life, we tend to call people. We tend to rely on people more than we rely on God. I know it's going to be rough, but we're going to be all right today. But we call on people to do what only God can do. And God is so good that he'll step back and he'll let you rely on people. He'll let you have faith in people only for those same people to disappoint you. Have you ever called somebody and said it was urgent, and they didn't immediately hit you back? Maybe you called me. Oh, my goodness. What am I talking about? But sometimes, hallelujah, we reach out to folk in desperate situations. We reach out to folk when we really have a need. We reach out to somebody when we really need their assistance or we really need their help. And sometimes they're just not available. How do you feel when somebody does not rush to your side when you know you've done the same for them? But you have to understand something about God. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. God is not like that. When you call God, he's most surely will answer. I remember back in the day, Deacon Lytle, when we used to have contests at Randall Park Mall, when I was like 13, 14, and the contest was who can get the most females' numbers. I'm just going to talk about it. That's what we did. And so you had to have the boldness so you don't get dogged by your friends to be able to approach a female and to ask that female for their number. Now, some numbers that you got weren't really their number. There was somebody else's number. I remember Lady J telling me on one occasion that a young man asked for her number and she wrote down John 3:16. I thought that was clever. I never got one of those, hallelujah, because maybe they didn't think that the Bible could save a man like me, my God. But when I was a young man, I remember going out asking for numbers. And how many of you know it was difficult because people would say things like, young ladies would say things like, no, I'm not going to give you my number. I don't give my number out, but I'll take your number. I'm going somewhere with this. Even today, I've learned through my children that some people will not give you their number. They'll give you their Snapchat. They'll give you their Instagram. And so what they're saying is that you're not going to be able to call me, but you can look at me and look at what I've posted online. Am I with everybody? And so what they're saying there is that you don't have a good enough relationship with me. I don't know you good enough to be comfortable with you having my number where you can call me anytime. I'm so glad that when I met God on day one, that he allowed me to call him. I'm so glad that God, hallelujah, he answers the phone every time I call. I can call God during the day. He ain't that busy and working too hard where he can't answer the phone. Some people, you call them, you know they at their job and they can't talk on their cell phone, so you just gonna have to wait on the information you need. But I can call God all day and he's available. I can even call him in the midnight hour. I can call him 3-4 in the morning, knowing the fact that my God does not sleep nor slumber. But so when you think about who you're going to contact when you get in a jam, you better understand the fact that God gave you his number, hallelujah, on day one. He said, just call on me in the name of Jesus and I'll see about you. Call on me in the name of Jesus and I'll figure out your situation, because God is the only one. He's your solution. He's your antidote. He's your answer. He's everything. Do I got anybody in here that knows that God is everything? That if it wasn't for God in your life, you
couldn't do anything. If it had not been for the Lord on your side, where would you be? I feel Jesus rocking my boat here. He said, call on his name. He said, make known his deeds among the people. Every time I hear something like that, I think about Deacon Taylor, because he always talks about the fact that God is here to make his name known. Ain't that right, Deacon? It's about God's name being known. It ain't about us. Like we sing that song, it's all about Jesus. So he's saying here now that we need to be able to be in a position where we talk about God. You need to get comfortable in being able to relate to other people who God is. That's what the Great Commission is all about. It's not about us sitting on our blessed assurance. It's about us being confident in knowing that God wants to be known through you as a vessel by telling your testimony to somebody else. Is there anybody here? When's the last time you told your testimony? When's the last time you told people how good God is? You got an opportunity every time you go to work. When they tell you how your weekend was and you say it was good, they say, what did you do? You got an opportunity to talk about what God has done in your life. Is there anybody in here that knows that when you talk about God, since he inhabits the praises of his people, that God will bless you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so the psalmist says, again in verse 1, give thanks to him. Call upon his name. Make his deeds known amongst the people. Now he says something interesting. He says, sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. What is he talking about? He's talking about, hallelujah, that oftentimes when we have desires on our heart, no matter what emotion you have, there's a song that can emanate from you, hallelujah, that can go to God's ears. Now, what I like about this is a note for any choir in any church. He said, sing to the people. No. He said, sing to your mama and them who came to support you. No. He said, sing to your husband or your wife or your children. No. He said, sing unto the Lord. You got to understand something, church. When you sing a song, it ain't for the other people to hear. It's for God to hear. Hallelujah. And so we ought to be able to sing to God. Hallelujah. When you're singing a congregational song, you ain't singing it for the benefit of your neighbor. You're singing because God's been good to you. And since he's been good to you, you're going to sing back unto him. It's like a cycle. God blesses you and you bless him. God blesses you and you bless him. God blesses you and you bless him. It should continually be a cycle of God blessing him, us, and we blessing him. And he loves to be blessed through our praise. And so the Bible says here, he says, sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. He's an amazing God. He says, glory ye in his holy name. Hallelujah. Let the heart of them rejoice that what that seek the Lord. And so he talks here, men of God, that we need to continually seek him. See, the problem with people is we oftentimes treat God from a worldly fashion, because worldly thing says, once you've arrived, you're good. We enter check up lists. That's what we do. We check lists off, don't we? Yeah. We'll check off the box anytime we have an activity. If you were building a fence, after you built the fence, you would check it off because the fence is done. But how many of you know, oftentimes, there's maintenance that goes along with the thing that you built? It takes us a lot sometimes, men of God, for us to get married. Because we know we're leaving behind singlehood, even though you were crying just to be with one person. But you get married and then we check off the box, saying, I've gotten married, I'm good. But you ain't good soon as you get married. The work really begins. Oh, come on now. Some of us couldn't wait until we became a father. Couldn't wait until little Johnny and little Susie was born. But what do we do? Hallelujah. We help to create that baby by our intimacy with our spouse. But something happens after you check off the box. Somebody got to change diapers. Somebody got to feed that baby. Somebody got to stay up at night. And most times, men, I'm sorry, it ain't us. But it's your wife by us. Am I talking to somebody? See, we got a habit of checking off the box because we are deed-oriented. That means that a man sees something, we try to to accomplish it. And then after that, we move on to the next thing. But how many of you know that if you treat God that way, you're going to sell yourself short? Because you ever see somebody, they cry out to God on the altar, then you don't see them no more. You ever see somebody, God solves their issue. You ever see somebody, they thought they were going to die, but God rescued them. He picked them up, turned them around, placed their feet on solid ground. And then they tend to forget what God has done because they've checked off the box. I had a need, God solved it, I'm good. But how many of you know that ain't the type of God that we serve? We serve the type of God that when he heals you, he wants you to be like that one leper. When he said, go show yourself to the priest. One came back and said, thank you. One laid at his feet and said, thank you. One worshiped him. Hallelujah. And so men of God, we need to be men of standard. Men of God, we need to be men who worship. We need to be men who praise. We need to be mighty men of God. We need to do, hallelujah, everything that it's required of a man to do via the word of God. Men ought to everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath, without doubting, knowing that God is with you 24/7. He don't take no days off. God is with you every day. And for that, I give him some praise. He says we got to seek God. That means you got to look for him. You better look for him while he can be found. You better search for him while he's near. Every day we ought to be looking for God. Look for God everywhere you go. When you're in your home, you need to be looking for God. Hallelujah. Look for God in your spouse. Look for God through your children. Look for God in you. You go outside looking at trees, all you're seeing is God. You're seeing his workmanship. You go to work, look for God. What can I do to be more holy? What can I do to walk in ordered steps? What can I do? Hallelujah. Because I got to look for God. And you guess what? You ain't got to look far because God is everywhere. Don't you believe that that devil is running everything? Jesus got the keys of death, hell, and the grave in his hand. We just don't know how much power he had and we have. Hallelujah. But you got to understand the fact that the devil has to answer to God, that the devil has to ask permission from God, that the devil can't run nothing that God don't let him do. Y'all got to understand that God, and I'll say it every week if I have to, he's the one that created the smith to blow upon the coals. He's the one that created the waster to destroy. But no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Seek the Lord, it says in verse 4, and his strength. Hallelujah. Why would I need to seek his strength? Because I know I'm poor and needy. I know that I'm weak. Everybody got to know, part of humility is knowing where you're weak. Everybody in here, you're only strong in God. By yourself, you'll give out and faint on the path. By yourself, you won't make it. Men of God, we can't make it. Without God, we'd be on porn all the time. Without God, we'd be chasing some skirts. Without God, we wouldn't even come to church. Without God, we'd be doing all types of abominable things. But with God on your side, you can say no to porn. With God on your side, you can say, I got a wife. I ain't got to go outside of that. With God on my side, I can treat my children right. I can't treat them right by me because I'm a nasty dude. But with God on my side, I can be the man that God has called me to be. With God on my side, I can work at my job as unto the Lord. With God on my side, I can be weak and feeble, but get up on this platform and preach the holy word of God. Is there anybody that understands that without him, you can't do nothing, but with him, you can do everything? Put your hands together and give God some praise. If you know that you're limitless in him, put your hands together and give him some praise. If you know with God on your side, hallelujah, ain't nothing too hard for him. And so you're in him, so ain't nothing too hard for you. With God on your side, there's nothing impossible to them that believe. That means, hallelujah, that can't nothing stop the love of God from touching you. You can be sick, but that can't stop God, because when God wants to heal you, your body got to line up. Whatsoever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever things you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Understand, my God is in control. We worry because part of it, when you worry, you don't believe God's in control. When you try to exact avenge or exact punishment on your neighbor or on your enemy, that you're not believing that God is moving quick enough in your life to make sure that you're okay. But I assure you, when you step out apart from the will of God, you're going to get yourself in some trouble. Any minute here got theyself in trouble because you moved just a little too quick. God know you want to have children, but he didn't want you to have them at 15 with the neighbor next door. Oh, come on. Can I be playing in this place? God knew that you needed some money, but he didn't want you to do it in a way that would get you in jail. Am I talking to somebody? God knew that you wanted family, but he didn't want you to find it in the form of gangs. No. But we got to learn how to wait on God. And that's why we're praying for God to give us his strength, because our strength fails. And when our strength fails, we do things that we're not supposed to do. When our strength fails, we'll cuss somebody out. When our strength fails, we'll do somebody dirty. When our strength fails and we don't rely on God, the flesh is always ready to take the opportunity to take us down a trail that God never told us to walk down. A lot of us are asking God to be the cleanup man. Clean up this mess I got myself into, God. And God is so good that he will, according to his will, come see you right where you're at. And when he picks you up and dusts you off, he'll put you on the right trail. Why would you go back to Egypt when God brought you out? Why would you go back to Egypt when you cried about Egypt? Why would you go back to Egypt when you sighed about Egypt? Why would you go back to Egypt when them taskmasters had them whips upon you? I'm talking Juneteenth even right now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Why would we go back to calling one another N-word? Don't you call your brother an N-word. Somebody received stripes and when somebody was calling them an N-word. That ain't good. That ain't right. Think of another name. Maybe call them nice. That's an N-word. Hallelujah. But don't you call nobody by a name that we used to be on the end of cat o' nine tails and get whipped about. That don't make no sense. Pull your britches up. Just teach the young men of God, because they don't understand history. They don't understand the fact that them boys, hallelujah, they were bucked. Those boys, oftentimes were raped. Those boys, they were done dirty. Then it matriculated unto prison life. How do you know? Because even though an era might change, demons still exist. I feel Jesus in here. Those same demons of hate that were back down in 1800 are the same demons of hate that are in 2022. Can I talk to somebody? You think everything's changed? Ain't nothing changed in this world. Evil still abounds. But we as Christians know that we can intercede and advocate in the name of Jesus, that we might tell that devil no. We break every generational curse. We might tell the devil no. We will not call one another crazy names. Why would you call your sister H and a B? Why would you do that when they treated us and our sisters like H's and B's? All you're doing is you're continuing. You've been taught well, but you've been taught by a master that's not the master, because I know our master is Christ, and he would never allow us to call one another by those filthy names. Why would you call somebody a mofo? You don't do that. You better understand that people were sent in to do things to our mother as a breeding ground, like they're an animal. We ain't no animal like that. We're free people, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. We just gotta know how to act like it. How ignorant is it of us to do things like when things were done to us? That shows that we're broken. That shows that we need God. That shows ignorance. Who don't want to be ignorant no more? Hallelujah. Give God some praise and say, God, fix it. You fixed it, God. You fixed it on Calvary. You fixed it, God, where I can have power over all the power of the enemy. I'm not rejoicing because the enemy has to go according to the words I speak in Jesus' name. I'm rejoicing because my name is written in the book of life in heaven. Somebody give him some praise and know that we're not going to be ignorant. Somebody give him some praise and know we're not going to call one another names. We don't even trust one another. No, we don't. Yeah, because it's been embedded in you that we're lazy people. Yeah, it's been embedded in you that we're a lying people. People that are inferior, that's what they do. They try to impose on you those things that they have in their heart. And that's why there's a lot of mess going on. Why? Because people are afraid that the same things that were done erroneously to us, that we'll turn back and do it unto them. But what they don't understand is this. God is so mighty. He says, vengeance is mine. I shall repay, saith the Lord of hosts. And the same way one of us can die from a sickness, know that on the other side, you'll be healthy. And it's the same way one of us might get lynched. One of us might get killed. But on the other side, we'll be in heaven waiting for God to return. Because when God returns, he's going to exact vengeance on all of his enemies. He's going to put every enemy under his feet. So men of God, you can still stand proud. Men of God, you can still stand to protect your family. Men of God, you can still take arms. But when you collect in your arms, hallelujah, you don't have to worry, because all your arms don't take bullets. Because if you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, I guarantee you that the devil got to flee. Hallelujah. He said, remember the marvelous works that he have done, his wonders and judgments of his mouth. He said, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He's talking about his lineage. You got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Some of you don't believe that you're Hebrew. That's okay. Some of you don't believe that you're Jewish. That's okay. The Bible says, if you're in Christ Jesus, guess what? You're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That means that what? That means no matter what lineage you come from, if you got faith in the finished work of Christ, Christ will indoctrinate you in. If you've got faith in the finished work of Christ on Calvary's cross, then guess what? You of the wild olive tree can be engrafted into the pure, hallelujah, olive tree, and you'll get all the rights, all the benefits of somebody in the family. And then you too can be bold enough to say and call him Abba, Abba Father. He's our Father, and for that I give him praise. It don't matter if I came by adoption. It don't matter if I'm in the original lineage. As long as I'm in that number, I'm going to give him some praise. Because I didn't control where I was born. I didn't control what womb I came out of. But I know that I'm a child of God, not because I'm his creation, but because I believe in the name of Jesus. And to those that believe, to them he became. He allowed them to become sons of the living God. You're a son of God, men of God. You're a daughter of God, woman of God, if you believe in the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. For that, I give God some praise. Hallelujah. It's a heavenly Father's Day today. I'm thanking him for being in the number. I'm thanking him for being in the family. Not only are you an heir, you're a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Why is that important, to be a joint heir with Christ Jesus? You got to understand that the law was given through Moses. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You got to understand that when John the Baptist was in the wilderness, eating locusts and honey, leather girdle around in a belt, and he came up to Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, you got to understand what was done. He was baptizing people in water, meaning he was baptizing people that they might repent, because repentance is the necessary foundation for anybody who wants to get saved. I feel God. You can't get saved if you don't repent, because you're all full of sin like me. But he had water baptism, and he was looking for people who were meet for repentance. That means suitable for repentance. But guess what? All that would do would get you ready for the one that would come, the one whose shoelaces you shouldn't even be touching. We're talking about the Christ, because he baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. admit that God could now have a relationship with you one-on-one, that God could go from traveling round and round. Remember he traveled cloud by day, fire by night. He ain't got to do that no more. Remember when Solomon built the temple, he was dwelling there within the Ark of the Covenant. He ain't got to do that no more. But because of what Christ did, the veil in the temple's been written into, and now Christ lives where you say, Deacon Lenny, in my heart, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is important because you got to understand, as a joint heir with Christ, Christ was the only one that received the Holy Ghost or the Spirit without measure. Admit that he overflowed in the Spirit. Men only got a portion of the Spirit. When God wanted a great work to be done from an Old Testament perspective, thank you, Holy Ghost, he would allow his Spirit to be upon them. But then when the job was over, sometimes he'd take his Spirit away. Go ask Saul. Saul had the Spirit. He messed up and God took it away. God ain't no Indian giver, but he gives his stuff to people who are going to walk and do what he called them to do. And so why is it important? Let's stitch it up, Jesus. It's important because Jesus was the first one to receive the Spirit without measure. And so if I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus, Jesus was the seed, singular, not plural. That meant that the promises of Abraham would go to the seed, which is Jesus. The promises that came before the working of the law gave Christ the power that he might be able to fulfill every tenet of the law. Hallelujah. To be justified in the Father's space. Hallelujah. And then because he laid his life down, hallelujah, he was able to pick it back up again because of resurrection power that only comes from the Spirit. So since we're joint heirs with Christ, that same Holy Ghost, hallelujah, that resurrected Jesus can reside within us. I feel something pushing me in here. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Bible says, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen. He says here, he is the Lord, our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Yeah. Don't you think because you're saved that you ain't got to go through a reproofing. Don't you think because you're saved that you won't go through an examination. God is examining our works because one thing God is not going to do, he's not going to bless a mess. No. He wants us to be consistent in him that we might live holy, that we might be sanctified, which means separated. We got to be separated from this world because we're not supposed to love the world. And in fact, if any man love the world, the love of the Father ain't in him. We got to be able to separate ourselves from the world and all its evil acts that we might show forth the praises who called us. Hallelujah. From the darkness to the marvelous light. That's why he says, Deacon Keith, that we are a peculiar people. We are a holy nation. We are a royal priesthood. I feel like preaching in here. God don't want us like a dog to go back to its own vomit. God don't want us like a pig to waddle back in the same mud that he cleaned us up from. When we're washed in Christ, we got to walk in the newness of Christ. The old man died, but the new man, hallelujah, has been resurrected that we might be able to produce good works because Jesus in his power, hallelujah, as creator of all things, he created us, hallelujah, within his workmanship to produce good works. I feel Jesus in here. Hallelujah. He says, hallelujah, he hath remembered his covenant forever. Aren't you glad that God is a promise keeper? Whatever God promised you, he surely shall perform. Yes, he will. You said it ain't came yet, but God promised me. Then understand that it's on his way because he said he that began a work, hallelujah, shall complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means until Christ comes back, there's an opportunity for God to fulfill his promise. He will fulfill every single promise to his believers. If God told you he'll heal you, he's going to heal you. And even if you don't ask for healing, if you're a believer, if you're not healed on this side, you're going to be healed on the other side. We got to stop thinking that God failed when he don't take that sickness away. Everybody's going to die from something. We pray for God to heal us. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But you got to understand something. Sometimes we praying for people that's tired and want to go home. Sometimes we praying for people who God has told them and answered their request and said, baby, I know you're tired. You can come. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, what? I'll give you rest. So how you going to get to Jesus? I know wherever two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. But if you want to literally know where he is, he's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. So when he says, come to me, I can leave this body. I can go to him and get the rest I need. Oh, Jesus is good. You got to believe it, though. You got to believe that's where you're going. You got to believe that heaven is real. You got to believe it. The Bible says, and he confirmed in verse 10, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. He says, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan. We call that the promised land. But we got a promised land too, don't we? Our promised land is heaven. The new Jerusalem. Our promised land, there'll be no more crying, no more tears, no more pain. The Bible says a lot of your inheritance. That's why you inherit. He said the wages of sin is death, but that gift from God is eternal life. That means that we can be with him and him with us. He'll be our God and we'll be his people. He said when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it. But God loves, I got to talk about this. God loves when we don't have the majority. I feel preachy in here. Y'all got to understand it. No. God loves that. Because if you were the majority of people and then you conquer your enemy, how many of you know you ain't got to put all that in the news? Because there's more of us than it is of them. Come on now. Just talk about it if you need to. When you got all kinds of money in the bank, you're not worried about the bills you have. If the bills are lower than the amount of money that you bring in, you don't need no miracle there. You can just look in the natural. If you have a happy spouse, you have a happy family, and you ain't never went through nothing, then it hurts your chances to be qualified to talk to somebody who's going through a tough upbringing. Everybody ain't got a rosy white picket fence. Everybody wasn't born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Some people had to struggle. Oh, come on now. You may not be able to tell the struggle right now because of where they're at, but if you knew their story of where they came from, you'd be like, man, they're good to be alive. You got some folks that came out of prison. You got some folks that was on drugs real rough. You got some folks that have been spoiled and messed up by the enemy. Folks that have been abused. Folks that's been beat down. Folks that's suffered emotionally, suffered spiritually, church hurt, suffered physically. Folks that bullied you, suffered mentally. Some folks coming from war, I got a buddy, suffering from PTSD, that's real, because of the things that he was exposed to. And so you got to understand when you ain't God, God is able to lift you up. He is able to fix those things that the devil thought he had you down and out for. You got to understand when the devil knocks you down, hallelujah, that in God you'll still make the count. You might not get up on 1, 2, or 3, but before 10, you're going to be able to stagger to your feet. And God says sometimes when he knows you can't make it, I'll let the bell ring for that round, meaning that you can go in a quarter and get yourself together. Am I talking to people that God has called you to be able to get up? Am I talking to people that you thought you were knocked out, but the Holy Ghost was like a smelling salt when you came to your senses? Don't you know that when God has a plan for your life, he'll make sure that you stay on course. And if you veer off course, he'll get you back on course. Am I talking to people who understand that God will do it for you? And he doesn't do it just one time. He'll do it for you the remainder of your life on this earth. He says we were few, strangers in it. 13, and we almost done. We ain't going but to 15. He says when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. 14 said he suffered no man to do them wrong. Don't you know, even though we're in the minority, God said I can still be for you. And if I'm for you, I'm greater than the one that's against you. You said we as a people have been through a lot, but if we're still here, we can still fight. And we celebrate those who fought a good fight and left the battlefield. Even in God, it doesn't mean that God didn't protect you. Paul ain't still here, is he? No, Paul was shipwrecked. Paul went through perils at sea. Paul was beaten with rods thrice. He was beaten one time and whipped, hallelujah. 40 saved, one stripe. 39 stripes he received. But he did what? He finished his course. I know we're going to take some licks. I know we're going to take some hits. But you got to understand that what we go through is but minor or light affliction, because Christ bore it all. I feel God in here. You just got to make it to the end. How do you make it to the end? By continuing to believe. Don't let anything erode your faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I know I can't see it, but I can still believe it. What did he tell Thomas? He said, you believe me because you see me. But blessed are those that believe without seeing. Am I talking to people who believe God, but you ain't seen them physically? Am I talking to somebody that God brought you out with a strong arm? Am I talking to somebody that God reached down deep and he got you from the place you were in? Am I talking to somebody who walked through the valley of the shadow of death, but you still didn't fear no evil because God was with you? Am I talking to somebody who was on the top of the mountain and you tumbled and fell down, but when you came to yourself, you saw a little plant? It was a lily because he was a lily in the valley. Am I talking to somebody that God blessed you and he kept you no matter, hallelujah, what you went through? He said what? He suffered no man to do to them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. That's the best protection you can ever have. To be anointed by God, knowing that you're untouchable. God allowed Job to go through boils on his body, but the enemy couldn't touch his life. Your sunrise and your sunset is controlled entirely by God. You say, but what about free will? Okay, free will. What decision did you make outside of the mind of God? If you believe he's omniscient and knows everything, then you can't believe that you could do something outside of what his mind would know. I choose to believe that he knows everything because he knows me. He knows when he tells me to go right that I might choose left. He already knows it. That's why when I do choose left, Deacon Lytle, he's waiting for me on the other side. Ain't he a good God? He knew what Jonah could do. He said, hey, fish, great fish, come on over here. Park yourself right over here by this boat. First, I'm going to let a storm go by because I need a storm to separate me from everybody else. God uses storms to separate, hallelujah, those who are going to be on his side and those who ain't going to be on. It was a storm that got your attention. They threw him overboard, didn't he? Storm stopped. But through the storm, the people on the boat got saved. Ooh. So wait a minute. Could it be that God used Jonah knowing he was stubborn, knowing he would disobey, because God had a section of people that needed to get his word through his name being known through his miraculous works? So hold up. He said, Jonah, go preach to the Ninevites. But what he didn't tell Jonah is, you're going to go the opposite direction. You're going to get a ship. And the ship's going to have a great storm. They're going to throw you overboard. But when they see that I calm the storm, guess what they're going to do? They're going to get saved. And that's what I need you to do. See, God will sometimes allow you to do what you do because he knows what's in you, just for you to be a blessing to somebody else. When Jonah was running, he never thought that he'd be a blessing to God. But when you called to be a vessel of God, even if you ain't lining up, God can still use you. Chew on that for a minute. God can still use you. Some of us backslid and went back to clubs and back to drugs and all that. And the people who knew who you were, sometimes they'll tell you, nah, man, you need to go back to church. You a dud now. You ain't even fun to be about. Because when you've tasted and seen the gift of God, you'll realize that there can't nobody do you like Jesus.
and nobody can do you like the Lord. That's why I don't worry about young ladies and young men that get in messed up relationships, because when they know Christ before they got into it and that person lured them away, guess what? They'll be back. Because it takes a differential of perspective to understand just how good God is. That's why I don't worry about my kids. You can wander off. You can go anywhere you want to go in this world. But the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when they depart, they won't, hallelujah. And when they get older, they won't depart from it. Because the word of God is so powerful. Hallelujah. Touch not thine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. We got to end there. This Father's Day, we celebrate biological fathers. But we lift up our Heavenly Father. Men of God, be who God has called you to be. Men of God, if you fall, allow the Lord to pick you back up. I want to celebrate men of God just for a second. Men of God, God will clean you up. Men of God will speak through you. Men of God, you don't feel like you're the man of your house? Keep being in Christ Jesus. Learn how sometimes every remark doesn't deserve a response. Sometimes you just got to be quiet in that still, quiet place and let God handle your business in your crib. Oh, you've been walked over and passed up at your job. Don't worry about it. God was the one that got you there anyway. But if he tells you to move, don't hang on to what he's telling you to move from. The problem is, men, we got to just do one thing. And that's yield. If you yield to the Holy Ghost, I guarantee you everything's going to end up okay. So you got to get past your own ego. A lot of us been taught the wrong way. Our dads taught us the best they could. We're not mad at them, but each generation needs to do better. Let's do better. Let's believe God more. Let's put our hands to that plow. Don't look back. Back is what you pray for him to get you out of. But let's move forward. Hallelujah. He took the people from Egypt who were bound and he made them to be free, only for them to get in the wilderness and wish that they'd been back. Let's liberate our sons. Let's liberate our daughters and give them Christ that they might be free forever. Happy Father's Day to the natural fathers, and happy Heavenly Father's Day to our Father, Abba Father. The one who kept us, the one who gave us purpose, the one who gave us life, the one who gave us our families, the one who gave us everything. We thank you, Lord, for being everything in our life. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for being everything. We thank you for being our shield. We thank you for being our buckler. We thank you for your darling son, Jesus, who hung, bled, and died on Calvary's cross. We thank you that he is the Prince of Peace. We thank you, hallelujah, that he is the balm of Gilead. We thank you, oh Father God, that he's the brighter morning star. We thank you, Lord, that he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, everything we need. Leave this day, ladies and gentlemen, and let your day be filled with praise. Let your day be filled with the Holy Spirit. Love on people. Just did another funeral yesterday. We're dying every day, if you don't understand that. And so, therefore, I know that God allows it, but we have to learn how to love one another while we can. Hallelujah, right on this side. And so spend a little bit of time. And if you're mad at your pappy, call them up. If you got Christ on the inside, the Lord said, hallelujah, if you don't forgive those who've trespassed against you, my Heavenly Father won't forgive us because we've trespassed against him. So why stay in a state where God won't forgive you of your sins just because you won't forgive somebody who sinned against you? Guess what? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so to be better men, we got to be accountable. To be better men, we got to be teachable. To be better men, we got to be holy. To be better men, we got to be able to apologize. To be better men, we got to walk in ordered steps. To be better men, we got to be, hallelujah, we got to be not only holy and sanctified, but we need to be in a position where we say, Lord, I'm only bold in you, Lord, but I'm going to be humble across the board. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, and I praise you for this opportunity. Through Christ's sake, we pray. Amen and thank God. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we leave this place, Lord, but not your presence, I pray, Lord, that everybody would have a good Father's Day, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that everybody under the sound of my voice, Lord, even those online that will see this later on, Lord, that they would recognize who you are, Lord. That they would recognize, Lord, that apart from you, they couldn't do anything. That they would recognize, Lord, that you gave them the breath of life, Lord. That you lent it to them for a season, which is called their life down here on earth, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that they would pay you homage. I pray, Lord, that they would believe on your son, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that they would change, oh, Father God. I pray, Lord, as I end this prayer, Lord, you said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. And the Lord said, I will heal the land. God bless you. God keep you. Have a wonderful day.
Hello, and thank you again for listening. I'm Pastor Tracy Wilson. My wife and I, along with the Real Gospel Missionary Baptist Church family, thank you for joining us for today's podcast. We pray that something you heard makes a difference in your life. We invite you to join us again next week. And remember, let us not just be hearers of God's word, but doers of his word. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Stay blessed and don't stress.
To the enemies, not me or you, weapons are spiritual. They